I was on Twitter this morning and they were talking about the impending baseball strike. And I was like, who cares about Major League Baseball right now? It just is so much to carry. If anything can bring me to tears about this, it's when they interview the mothers in Ukraine protecting their children. So I don't know if you saw the statement of Mrs. Zelensky, is that what we call her, the president of Ukraine's wife, where she said that I will project calm, confidence to my children. I will not have panic. I will not have despair. These powerful mother statements, which is just unbelievable. And it's also just heartbreaking. So I think there's just so much to take in at this point.
Welcome to Flusterclucks with Lynn Lyons, where we talk about a family's anxiety and other big feelings. Serious stuff without being too serious. I'm your co-host, Robin, and I'm Lynn's sister-in-law, and I'm here to ask your questions.
And I'm Lynn Lyons. I'm an anxiety expert, speaker, mom, and author. I've been a therapist for over 30 years. Parenting can be a flusterclucks, and I'm here to help you find your way. And I'll even tell you what to say.
So, Lynn, we have really upsetting news headlines, and we're now almost 2 years in to doing this podcast together. And of course, I've gotten a lot of free therapy out of it. So I have been aware.
Wait, you thought it was free?
You're like, my bill is in the mail. But moments like these, when we just feel like we've all been hit with a lightning bolt of uncertainty or panic or tragedy, What are the things we really need to be thinking about? And what are the things we need to be thinking about in relation to our kids?
I was just talking to somebody yesterday, actually, and they were talking about going through the pandemic. And then they had some deaths in the family during the pandemic, not related to the pandemic. And she said, I just don't know that I can take anymore. That was her feeling. And the other thing that I think we experience, which is really very similar to the way that I felt at the beginning of the pandemic, was this idea that it felt so surreal. Is this really happening? You know, your brain is trying to come to terms with sort of what's going on and is this real? Knowing that those are really normal feelings to have at this point, of course, along with every other feeling of just sort of feeling so angry and overwhelmed. And then trying to manage your normal family life. I think the important thing now is how we talk to our kids about it and what they're being exposed to and what the news is saying, what they're hearing and our reactions. So I think maybe it would be helpful if I just went through some of the things that are really important to pay attention to at this point. Similar to what we talked to at the beginning of the pandemic, similar to what people talk about whenever there is a huge, enormous, scary thing going on in the world, how do we help our kids through it?
I think I know one of the things you're going to say, because it's really something that you talk about in relationship to daily interactions with our kids, but it's just as relevant now, which is, can we learn to manage our own reactions so that we aren't modeling an overreaction that frightens our kids?
Right. Yep. That's what's first on the list. Watch your own language and your emotional responses, because they are looking to you. It's the very same thing that when a little toddler falls down and scrapes their knee or bumps their head, they stand up and they look at your face and they are waiting to see what your reaction is. This is based on the fact that we are social beings. We are constantly reading the responses and the reactions of the people around us. So it's so important for you to pay attention to your reactions and your responses. That's really going to set the tone for what your kids are going to be able to manage and how they're going to be able to deal with this. Developmentally, if you've got little kids, there is no reason that they have to hear about this, because they don't understand the language. They don't understand the content. All they understand is that you're upset. All they understand is that there's something going on. They can't make sense of this. So be really careful. Even if you've got babies, if you've got toddlers, be really careful about the energy you're putting off, because they're feeding off of that. They're picking up on that. So pay attention to what you're saying. Pay attention to what's on in the background. There's interesting research that happened, and I think I talked about this before, but after 9/11, one of the things that they found when they were talking to kids is that when the TV was on and they were showing the planes hitting the Twin Towers over and over and over again, little kids thought it was happening over and over and over again. Now, it's a little bit different now because, sadly, it is happening over and over and over again. But pay attention. They are taking in that information. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to make of it. So protect little kids from that onslaught of video images, of language, of words. It's really okay to protect them from this.
The TV is not really a great thing right now to have on in households for that reason.
Yeah. Nope, it's not. Be really careful about having the television on now and having it on in the background and even the radio. You know, do people still listen to the radio? Yeah, we have the radio on in our house in the background. We listen to classical music and then they come on with the news. Just pay attention to what kids are hearing. If you have older kids, even elementary age, and they're going to be asking questions, it's important to give them basic information. So I've seen people suggest, which I thought was a wonderful suggestion, if you have like a second grader or a third grader or a fifth grader, take out a map and show them where Ukraine is, show them where Poland is, give them a visual that shows them where this is in the world so that they can make some sense of it. I think that's a really helpful suggestion. So we're not talking about things in such an abstract way. It really is okay, too, to talk about this in language that they can understand, which is basically that Russia and Putin have gone in and taken over something that's not theirs. So most kids at a very young age, you know, if we're talking school age kids, can understand that concept of what it's like for someone to come in and take what's not theirs. It's been interesting when I hear that it's a war, I sort of bristle at that word. I feel like invasion, right? But when we talk to kids that somebody came in and decided that they're going to take what's not theirs, kids can understand that as a concept. So using metaphors, being able to put it in a context that kids understand. The other thing that might be really helpful to talk to kids about is that a lot of the people in Russia are very much against this. Because we want kids to have a more nuanced understanding of what's going on, that this is a dictator who's coming in and doing this to other people. There are a lot of people in Russia that have family in Ukraine. There are a lot of people in Russia who don't agree with this. I think it's really okay with your older kids to have that discussion so they understand more the nuance of this. So we don't set it up as sort of Russia bad, Ukraine good, that we really let them know that this is really about an individual doing something. And to talk about how the whole world is trying to figure out what to do to stop this, I think is a really important thing to talk about. I think it's really important to let them have their feelings about it, to be confused about it, to be angry about it. So many times on this podcast, we've talked about emotional literacy, the ability to put your feelings into words. This is a really good time to help your kids find those words to describe what's going on inside of them and for you to model the many feelings that you might be having also. Don't dismiss what they're feeling. Don't minimize what they're feeling. Help them put it into context. And this is a really great time to talk about empathy, that even though this is a really far place, it's far from us, maybe we don't know anybody that's Russian or Ukrainian, but we can understand the humanity of it, that these are people who are being displaced. These are people who are scared. These are people whose lives are being threatened in so many ways. Talk about that so that you can create some empathic connection with your kids. You want to do it in small doses, but it really is helpful for them to be able to talk about that. Obviously, I am a big proponent of dealing with problems, getting the help you need, figuring out solutions, being able to go to somebody who is a professional, who's trained, who's licensed, who can give you the help that you and your family need. So try Talkspace. By doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want accessible, easy, and affordable.
With Talkspace, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. It's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from your home, your car, your office. There's no need to commute to appointments, and you don't have to line up childcare in order to attend your sessions. So this really is mental health care made easy.
It's secure and private. They're using the latest end-to-end bank-grade encryption, which just means that your privacy is protected and that they comply with the latest HIPAA regulations.
Talkspace is also in network with most major insurers. And as a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/fluster. So to match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/fluster to get $80 off your first month.
That's Talkspace.com/fluster. Okay, file this under the category of what will they think of next? Songfinch is this incredible service that allows you to create original radio quality songs that are inspired by your own life and the people you love. Maybe you're planning a proposal. Maybe you want to create a song for somebody for your anniversary. Maybe it's for Mother's Day. Maybe it's for Father's Day. You give some personal information, and then a very talented musical artist creates a song just for you. And what a thoughtful gift. I mean, for those people that have everything, this is going to delight them and surprise them. Maybe there's a graduation coming up, Mother's Day, Father's Day. So start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. So for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free. So you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. So go to songfinch.com/fluster and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, it's songfinch.com/fluster. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/fluster.
If a child has a desire to do something, to encourage something as well.
Yeah, exactly right. Here are the questions that if I were dealing with a younger child, I would say to them, what have you heard about what's going on, so that you can figure out what information they've gotten, because they're going to hear it in school, they're going to pick things up. What have you heard? And do you have any questions that maybe together we can try and answer? So listen to their questions, see, and if you don't know the answer, see if you can find the answer. And then also ask them, what do you think, or what have you heard about what other people are doing to help, right? Which brings us right back to Fred Rogers, of course, right? Look for the helpers. What are we seeing that people are trying to do to help? And then to ask them, is there anything you think that we can do to help? Or do you have any ideas about what might be something you can do to help? And it can be a very small thing. They can write a letter. They can wear Ukrainian colors to school. They can find out if there's a place that's taking some sort of donations, creating or making room for that spirit of generosity and helpfulness is really, really important. It's just brutal. It's brutal that kids have to witness this. It's more brutal that kids are experiencing this. It's just heartbreaking. So we've got to be steady. We've got to be clear. We've got to make room for it. We've got to look for opportunities to foster empathy, to give them suggestions or to come up with ways that they can feel like they're doing something active so they don't feel so helpless. But of course, we all feel kind of helpless about this, don't we?
Okay, we got the kids covered. What about the parents? I mean,
yeah,
we just admitted like we're addicted to our Twitter feeds.
Mm-hmm.
What is the right way to take care of ourselves with this? Or what rabbit hole do we want to stay away from?
For me, I was off Twitter for a while after January 6th and all that kind of stuff. I really just had to take a break from it and it felt good. But this morning I woke up and I was right back on it looking to see what was going on. I think it's a matter of putting some time limits around it, to be honest. Being able to say, I'm not going to absorb myself in this all day. It was sort of what I started doing during the pandemic and even during all the other stuff that was going on in the country around that time. I would give myself a period of time. Maybe it was in the evening where I would gather some information. Maybe I would watch one show or spend some time on Twitter. I'm giving myself that advice, as I'm giving all of you that advice, that it really is about limiting your time, making sure that you are continuing to do the things that you need to do for yourself. So, Robin, honestly, I feel the same way. It is just horrific. It's awful. I'm really just trying to limit my exposure to it. I've got to do my job. People have to do their jobs. It's just awful. I don't know. Is there a way we can get around the awful? I don't know that there is. I think we're just going to feel awful. It's awful. You know, there's that worry about what's coming next, right? We start catastrophizing, but it's kind of a catastrophe. You know, this isn't, I say all the time, like when worry shows up, it says, this is not an emergency. Okay, this is an emergency. So it's just hard. It's the reality. This is different than worry and ruminating and catastrophizing when we're putting into the context of our anxiety. This is real. This is awful. So that's not very helpful, but I'm just saying, everybody, this is awful. It feels awful.
Yeah. Well, it's validating because you said something earlier that when we don't even feel like this is real, mm-hmm. that's a very different category of trying to process something. Mm-hmm. You know, here's what's sad. The floodings, the climate catastrophe, there are so many things that we're almost jaded and numb to because mm-hmm. they happen so much now. It's terrible when it's like, oh, well, this hasn't happened that much. So now we're having to experience this where we can't even process it. We're not numb to it. It's shocking.
Right.
And I don't think that being numb to tragedy is the answer either. I'm just saying that we're going through a new cognitive experience mm-hmm. this week. Yeah. Just as we had at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah. You know, getting numb to tragedy, this is a way that we protect ourselves. I think that's what we do with school shootings now in this country, right? Because we can't, we turn off a part of ourselves in order to function. And when you're confronted with something, and we shouldn't do that, of course, we shouldn't do that. It's this self-protective thing that we do. And that in and of itself is tragic. So when we're confronted with something that it's just overwhelming. This is when people are in shock, like when something horrible happens in your life and people will say, like, it just didn't feel real. I just couldn't understand that it was really happening. I just couldn't take it in. I think a lot of us are feeling that. Imagine what it must feel like if you're sitting in a bunker with your three babies in Ukraine. How it must feel so hard to process all of this. I think our brains are just trying to figure it out. It just is overwhelming. So people might be having weird dreams. They might be having difficulty falling asleep. You might feel like you're tearful. You might feel like you want to escape. There's all sorts of ways that we try and deal with this, but it's overwhelming. The most important thing is that our kids are watching us. They're watching us. And we have to model for them, not what we want them to do because they're kids, but we have to show them that we are steady, that we are here, and we have to protect ourselves and we have to protect them from a constant onslaught of this information. It's happening. I don't want people to ignore it or deny it, but if your kids are little, you can absolutely protect them from it.
One of the things I learned from you early on in this pandemic too, is that say you ended up having kind of a pretty powerful reaction in front of your kids and you realize, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. Like I let mm-hmm. it go and I shouldn't have. The antidote is the power of silliness. Help mm-hmm. your kids feel safe again by creating silliness and a space mm-hmm. for silliness.
Yeah. And even if that feels hard, like to create silliness, just don't forget about play during this. Like, don't forget about play. The other thing too is that if you have a big reaction and you're like, oops, I had a big reaction, just talk about it a little bit with them. Say, oh, the reason I was so upset was because I saw something on TV or the news that really upset me. And I talked about it with my friend or I had a good cry. And now, you know, we're going to have to handle these big feelings we're having. You can help them put some words to what was going on with you. So they're not like, oh my God, what the heck happened to mommy? But don't forget about play. Kids need play. They need connection. They need play. That's one of the things when we're going through this stuff like this is don't get fully absorbed. You know, if you're looking at your phone, if you're talking about it all the time, stay connected to your kids in a way that is kid-like. So yeah, the play, the connection, the love, they need that. They need to see some normalcy in that for sure. So I think maybe one of the things that we can all think about, because we do feel a little helpless, we do feel a little overwhelmed, we do feel disconnected from this in some ways, is to just take an opportunity to think about how you are going to show your kindness to the world, right? How are you going to, what's some small thing that you can do that sort of reminds you and reminds the people around you that there still is kindness and there still is empathy and there still is connection in the world at a time when it just feels so, so awful. I think we're seeing a lot of that when you watch the news. Those are the things that are so heartwarming and so sad.
Can I admit something that isn't maybe the most mature, but I was very proud to show my teenage daughter the woman who fearlessly confronted the Russian soldiers, asking them to put sunflower seeds in their pockets. One of the things that I find is that this is complicated and there's a duality to it. And I think that for my kids who are older, there are just as many examples of incredible courage and bravery and defiance and unity that I think sharing with my kids feels kind of purposeful right now for them to understand how complicated these situations are. They're not simplistic at all. So I want to raise kids who understand all the different nuances of this, and showing the protests in Russia, showing the defiance of the Ukrainians protecting their homes. There are these things to show what really matters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's a great thing to talk about with your older kids, is to say, like, look at this display of courage. Look at these people that are going out into the streets of Russia and protesting.
Right.
They're going to get arrested. It's not going to go well for them. So I think that's exactly right. And there's a lot of courage. There's a lot of honesty. There's a lot of bravery. There's a lot of just a lot of love in there. That is the duality, right? In the face of all of this. And then there's just a lot of crap that people are saying and doing that pisses me off. But I'm trying to stay away from that. I'm trying to channel Fred Rogers. I'm trying. Look for the helpers. Look for the love, right? Oof. Yeah, it's tough. That's the tough part of this, is that we feel so powerless because there are still a group of people who are in charge and are making these huge decisions that impact all of these lives, right? So there's the mother trying to protect her children. There are the people who are making Molotov cocktails. There's Jose, who's making huge pots of soup at the Polish border. And then there are these other powerful people that are deciding what happens next. And that is just so, so hard to sit with. It's so hard to be like you say, this position of duality where you're feeling so many different things at once. You're seeing individual courage and you're seeing bravery and you're seeing love. And then you're seeing people making decisions that are
evil.
Evil. Yeah, it's so hard. This is the human race, man. This is what human beings do. It's so hard to be a part of. It's so hard to watch.
Lynn, why don't we put a thread in our Facebook group where listeners can maybe ask specific questions about how they're handling this with their families, where we can all contribute to the conversation and you can offer a little bit more specific support.
That would be great. I'd also just love to hear how people have handled this and things that people are doing. If you have come up with something that you're doing with your 9-year-old or your 8-year-old or your 15-year-old that has really been helpful for you, please share it with the rest of us, because we're all just trying to get through this and figure this out.
The link to the Facebook group is in the show notes, so join us.
What can we say? Here we are, tolerating uncertainty in such a challenging way. Hug your kids.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.